So the passage for tonight is from Luke 1, 39 through 45. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." I'll continue reading. I focused on that section, but I'll continue reading the rest of the passage. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him, from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. God, I thank you for this time tonight and for all of us here together. And I just pray that tonight we would see you and hear from you, and we would celebrate your coming into the world. Amen. Okay. Well, when I read this passage, what I really get a sense from it is that it's overflowing with joy. Basically, what's been going on so far, if you don't know, the angel Gabriel has just approached Mary and has told her that she will give birth to the Son of God. And she is a virgin and she wonders how this can be, but she believes the angel and she says, "I am the Lord's servant, may it be to me as you have said." And then right after that, Mary gets ready and hurries to see her relative Elizabeth. And Elizabeth, we find out earlier, she was an elderly lady. She was married to a priest named Zechariah, and she was barren. But an angel told her that she would give birth to John the Baptist, who a few weeks ago, for the past 2 weeks, we've been hearing about John the Baptist. And so when Mary meets Elizabeth in her home, Elizabeth is already 6 months pregnant. And so first of all, right there, there's a lot of joy there. There's two women who shouldn't be pregnant, who are, especially Elizabeth, because she and Zechariah wanted to have a child, and God gave them a child, and so there's obviously joy there. When Elizabeth hears Mary's greeting, it says the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear." So she's exclaiming in a loud voice these things, and she's filled with the Holy Spirit, and there's a lot of joy there when the two of them meet. And then she says, "But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Have you ever had a great experience and you just asked, like, "Why me? Like, what did I do to deserve this?" That's how Elizabeth is feeling, and that's a feeling of joy. So that's another example of, another evidence that this is full of joy. "As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." So what I get the sense from this is that it's filled with joy. And the joy comes from Jesus. Elizabeth says, "Why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Even though she's happy that she's pregnant, what it seems to be saying here is that what really brings her joy is that the mother of her Lord is coming to her. And so Jesus, wherever Jesus goes, whenever Jesus comes into the world, he brings joy. And I don't even know if Jesus is in Mary's womb at this time, but even before he's born, he's bringing joy to the people that we read about here, Mary, Elizabeth. And so wherever Jesus is, there is joy. And we see this also as he's an adult. If you read like the rest of Luke, you'll see that he raises a girl from the dead, he brings forgiveness to a sinful woman, He He heals Simon Peter's mother from a high fever, and he does many other things, like heals a leper, heals a woman who's been sick for 12 years. And when I think of those stories, I always think of, you know, he's powerful, he has all this power to heal people, but also I can only imagine how much joy those people must have felt after being healed, because now they can live a full life, a life that's not chained in sin or bound by guilt or by paralyzed by a disease. They can live a full and whole life. And so wherever Jesus goes, he brings joy. And we see this in this passage. Even before he's born, he's bringing joy. For the past 4 weeks, Alec, the master of Christmas, has been asking us a question. And the question is, how do we wait? And I think this passage, the passage that the lectionary gave us was 39 through 56, but the second half was optional, so I focused on the first half. And that passage that I just talked about, where Mary is with Elizabeth, that seems to me to show a good example of how we wait, because we see Mary and Elizabeth, they are waiting. They're not only waiting for their babies to be born, they're also waiting for Jesus to come into the world. And so how do we wait? And what I've been thinking about, the first thing is, I've already talked about a little bit, we wait joyfully. We see Mary and Elizabeth waiting joyfully for their children and for Jesus. And so we can read this passage as seeing what Mary and Elizabeth did, but also during the time of Advent, we can read it as ourselves waiting for Jesus to come into the world a second time. And so we wait for Jesus joyfully. But one thing that I've thought about is, I haven't actually waited for Jesus joyfully. When I've thought about Jesus' second return, I've often thought of it in terms of fear. I remember when I was a kid, I always heard people say, you know, Jesus will come at a time when no one is expecting him. And so what I would do whenever I think about it, I would expect Jesus to come that day so that he wouldn't come. Because if he came when no one was expecting him, and I was expecting him, then he wasn't going to come that day. And I don't know why exactly I did this. I think because I didn't want Jesus to come back. I probably didn't understand what it meant when he comes back. But I wanted to, like, I guess in a way, enjoy life and not go to heaven quite yet. And I don't think about that anymore. But I still have that kind of sense of fear when it comes to Jesus' second coming. We talked about a few weeks ago, Pastor Steve preached from Luke 21. And there's some verses there that don't seem to be really joyful. Like verse 10, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There'll be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilences in various places, and fearful events. And then verse 26, men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. And it even says earlier, kind of in contrast to the passage we're reading right now, how dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. And so on one hand, Mary and Elizabeth are joyful for Jesus' coming. But on the other hand, it says here later on in Luke that Jesus' coming will bring a lot of fear, and those who are pregnant won't be joyful. And so that's something that I've kind of been wondering about. And what I think it is that we still need to wait for Jesus' coming with joy. Those tribulations and those trials will come, but maybe we can see them as in terms of birth pangs. Like when, you know, before a baby's born, there's pain. But the pain is nothing to be compared with the joy that comes when this life comes into the world. And so I think that's how we should wait for Jesus' coming, with joy. And despite the troubles that are to come, there's a greater joy that's coming. It says that when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, interestingly enough, we can relate to this passage because as Elizabeth and Mary were waiting for Jesus' coming, Elizabeth had the Holy Spirit fill her. And in the same way as we're waiting for Jesus, the Holy Spirit is among us and in us. And the Holy Spirit is a promise to us of the joy that's to come. So just as Jesus brings joy wherever he goes, the Holy Spirit brings joy as well. And we can experience that joy, even though Jesus hasn't come yet, because of the Holy Spirit. So a question that I have is, if Jesus brings joy wherever he goes, then where is Jesus right now? Where is he walking? What streets is he walking on? Where is he in our neighborhood? Where is he in our lives? What is he doing? Where is he bringing joy? I read an article in Christianity Today that said that Christians often forget about joy. Like, we think of discipleship as something to, you know, a cross to bear. We have to take up our cross, and we have to, you know, really be stern about it. And while that's true, we do have to take up our cross, we can't forget that Jesus is a Lord of joy, and his kingdom is a kingdom of joy. And so I was thinking about, where is the joy in my life and in the joy that I see in people's lives? And so what some of the things I've thought about is, when I spend time with people, I have joy then. We had a youth all-nighter on Friday, and there was a lot of joy. We went to see, we went to Point Loma and looked at the Christmas lights there, and we got to see a view of the bay. We got to drive a dance car, at least five of us did, and we drove down the steep hill and saw these lights, and it was really a joyful time just hanging out with the people there. Also, this morning during prayer, we heard from Maddie's testimony. She seemed to be full of a lot of joy, talking about how the children were caroling to Sister Tucker, and those children, probably a lot of them haven't met Sister Tucker before, but there was a lot of joy there singing because of Jesus. And those children wouldn't have been with Sister Tucker had it not been for Jesus. And so there's joy there. And there's also joy, something I remember earlier in the semester. I tutor next door here. There's a group of us that tutor some elementary school kids that come. And there was one afternoon I was just taking a nap, and I had a dream that I was tutoring. And I woke up and I just felt so much joy, because I remembered this one time when Gilbert was helping, and seeing Gilbert, who graduated high school, he's helping these kids read and do their math. And just the joy of seeing kids who, maybe the first few weeks, they didn't want to come, they didn't want to do homework, and now they're eager to do their homework, at least for the most part. I just felt a lot of joy there when I woke up from that dream, just remembering what's been going on. And so I think those places where we have joy in our lives, maybe those are signs of where Jesus is at work in our lives. And maybe it's important for us to remember those things, to encourage us, and also to see where Jesus is working. And so how do we wait? First thing is joyfully. The second thing I see from this passage, how do we wait, is we wait together. When Mary hears the good news of that she is going to give birth to the Son of God, she immediately goes to Elizabeth to spend time with her. And in verse 56, it says, Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. So they were there together for 3 months, waiting to give birth. And I think that's really important. Like, joy is connected to being together with people. It's impossible, pretty much, to celebrate alone, at least in my opinion. Like, if it was your birthday, do you think it would be fun to be in your room all day and just maybe write about your birthday? Or would you rather have some friends come over and surprise you and sing happy birthday to you? There's just so much joy when you celebrate something together. And like these Advent services, Pastor Steve and Alec, they could have encouraged us to every Sunday night pray and meditate on the scriptures by ourselves. And there is a place for that. But I think there's a lot of joy, especially during this season, when we can come together and wait for Jesus' coming together. And so, speaking of birthdays, well, there's a lot of birthdays in December. Of course, Jesus' birthday is in December. So that's the tradition. But in a way, us gathering here is, we're waiting for a celebration of a birthday to come. The birthday of all creation, when Jesus will come and make all things new and make all things right. He'll bring peace and justice and righteousness. If he came and brought joy and those things the first time, how much more will he bring it when he comes the second time in his fullness. How do we wait? We wait joyfully and together. Just as Mary and Elizabeth, they waited joyfully and together. They were waiting for what was still to come, their babies to be born and for Jesus to come. They were waiting for that joy that was to come, but at the same time, they were filled with joy when they were together waiting. And so in the same way, we wait together joyfully for Jesus' coming and all the fullness that he will bring, and also remembering the joy that he is already bringing and all that he's already doing in our lives. Thanks.
Thank you, Josh. For those of you who came expecting a Christmas Eve service about the birth of Jesus, it's not here yet. You're going to have to wait until Thursday night and maybe read it with your family. Or maybe don't read it by yourself. You need to read it with somebody. So Advent's still going on, and I know a lot of people, last night, two nights ago, we opened up presents with Kelsey's family, and we read the birth story. And it kind of hurt me, but it's the soon-to-be in-laws, so, you know, I can't really say, let's read something else. But anyways, as Josh said, the question I've been working with, how do we wait? And then last week, I kind of talked about how that really is a question of how are we going to respond to the birth of Jesus, and how are we going to respond to Christ calling on our life? Those questions kind of go together. And I think, although it's not yet Christmas, Pastor Steve's sermon this morning really kind of hit at what the heart of Christmas was without actually, reading Luke chapter 2. And what I want to say is that his point of the birth as sacrifice was really powerful to me, because Advent is a time when we look at his birth. But you can't look at his birth without looking at where his life is going. And Luke's about that. Luke is about Jesus, once he starts his ministry, going to Jerusalem to die. And you read that throughout Luke, and we might go through that someday. But so as we look at his birth, we have to look at his sacrifice. And when you look at his sacrifice, that means his death. And the gospel message is that it doesn't just stop at his death. You have to look to the resurrection. And then as Advent is this time where we look at his birth, but we also look at his second coming, and somehow we're supposed to look at both of these things at the same time. So we go from his birth to his death to his resurrection. That means we also have to look that he doesn't just resurrect and go to heaven, but that he's promised to come again. And so Advent is really a time when it all just flows together. From his birth, it flows right up to a second coming, and it kind of holds the season together in a way. And I never thought about his birth pointing to even his second coming. When you follow the chain, when I think of his birth, it might lead me to his ministry, but it really has never clicked that they have to go together. Jesus was born. Jesus came. He came to be the sacrifice for our sins. And Pastor Steve's message today just really hit me, and I appreciate what you said. And I also forgot to say, Josh, you've managed to answer any of questions that I've given. I haven't even given an answer yet for it. So thank you. My challenge to you is to answer those questions yourself, and I think you did a good job today, Josh, working with the passage. And we need to wait in joy. We need to wait together. We need to be waiting and listening to the call of God in our life. So I'd like to close by reading the passage that Pastor Steve worked from this morning. And when I get done reading it, then I'll pray. It comes from Hebrews 10, verses 5 through 10. It says, "Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, 'Sacrifice and offerings you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. Then I said, Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God.' First he said, Sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings, you do not desire, nor were you pleased with them, although the law required them to be made. Then he said, Here I am, I have come to do your will. He sets aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Father God, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word spoken through your servant. We pray that during this time of Advent, we have come to a greater understanding of who you are and what you have done for us in your son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for sending him to the earth. We thank you for his sacrifice that can cover our sins. I pray that you would be with us this last week as the preparations for Christmas get more heated and people are off break from school and families coming into town. I pray that we would take time to reflect on your goodness, reflect on who you are, and also take time to fellowship as the body of Christ and to remember that we are saved. We are saved because of what you've done and saved because of your birth, which points us to your sacrifice. I thank you once again. In your son's name I pray. Amen.